John Ring and Scott De Butler, hello, very welcome to the studio for our third session.
Morning, Heidi.
Good morning from Tinder Point.
Good morning.
Now, we're going to talk about social media this time, and this is probably the thing that people are most familiar with. Wouldn't it be kind of Facebook and stuff like that? John, how is social media? Is it more than just, you know, organising parties and stuff, or...?
It can be a lot of things, actually. Facebook started, I think, well over a decade ago. So it's been around a long while. At least half the population of Ireland uses Facebook. I suppose there's a big difference just between when one uses the likes of Facebook for business reasons as opposed to for personal reasons. So that's just a thing to be conscious of, I guess. Twitter's really good for, you know, if you want to tell people what you're doing. But also, I suppose, in terms of if you're a business and you're trying to reach people, Twitter's really good because most of the journalists are on Twitter. So therefore, if you want to get your message out into the mainstream press, then by connecting with journalists on Twitter, that's probably one of the main uses of Twitter, essentially, for businesses. And then it comes into other things like LinkedIn as well, whereby if you're in the professional space, you know, you might be an office worker, that type of thing. And in the B2B space or the business-to-business space, LinkedIn is really the key thing to be aware of there, or the key kind of network to be using. Jobs have actually all gone towards LinkedIn. So if you're hiring and you don't use LinkedIn, there's something probably wrong. And then they're the three main established players, and then you have a whole range of newer players as well, like the Snapchats, the Instagrams and the Vines. Mm-hmm. But we can come on and talk about those, I suppose.
Good heavens. I mean, it really is a whole other language, isn't it, if you're not... Snapchats, what do you say?
The Snapchat, there's Instagram and there's Vine. Vine is very interesting. It basically allows you to run a 6-second video. And you can loop the video, which runs over and over again. So there's a hardware shop, for example, in America called Lowe's, which is a kind of like a bigger equivalent in the States to the Woody's that we have here. And they've come out with a series of 6-second DIY instructional type videos to advise for, you know, dads on how to build a barbecue at home.
And in 6 seconds.
In 6 seconds, but it's time lapse. So they fit a lot in to the 6 seconds. So it's exceptionally fast, but you can play it slowly. And you can see exactly what is needed in order to build a barbecue in 6 seconds. Another one just might be how to install a toilet in 6 seconds as well, and a whole variety of different things like DIY associated. So there's lots of creative uses for it, you know.
OMG.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How to install a toilet in 6 seconds. Wow, that would solve a lot of problems, didn't it? I mean, no matter what hurry you were in, 6 seconds, you could wait that long, couldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
you
probably could, if you were stuck.
Wow, and Scott, you're going to elaborate a bit on this, because there's a lot. I mean, you could have covered a lot there now. Like, you've covered an entire universe of communication forms.
I guess for those who aren't necessarily too sure of it, it is going to be a bit overwhelming. But, you know, one of the main things to look at social media, well, compared first of all with what we normally know as media. So say, for example, you know, we're on radio right now, and traditionally speaking, there was only one way of moving, information from the microphone here in the studio to the listener's radio set. So that was just one way. Social media, there's emphasis there on social for a reason, because it is interactive. So in comparison to, say, radio, TV and print, now obviously I'm going from a media perspective here, but if you're going from radio, TV and print, it is a one-way channel, whereas there is that ability for interactiveness, if that's a word, between your audience and your business. So whether it's a brand or even a station, like, for example, with Near FM, they have their own Facebook and Twitter, to my knowledge. But probably unlike, say, even a few years ago, before social media really came into its own, there wasn't really that same ability to properly interact and engage with your audience or your customers or whoever else it may be that you're trying to target. So that's that in itself is the key power to whether it's Facebook and Twitter, which obviously will be the most popular ones, or even more new generation platforms, say for example with Snapchat and Instagram. Instagram is a great little way, especially in terms of video as well, but mainly photos, of showing a bit of creativity to your business. So whether you're a cafe, for example, I'm an absolute coffee addict, so this is another thing that I'd keep an eye on, or say more clothes brands, say for example Gap in the US, have come up with a new series of 15 second videos that are now on loop thanks to a new feature on Instagram, that they're almost their own little story. So of course people are going to be a bit more engaged with it, they're going to like it, and those are the likes or follows or favourites, which again is kind of new language in a lot of ways as well for new people. That just shows a level of engagement and interactiveness, and that is exactly what people from a business side are looking for, because they want to keep as many of their audience or their customer base as engaged and as connected as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think that whole picture thing, I mean, the advertising got that a long time ago, that a picture ad can sell a product much better than telling
people. 1,000 words.
Yeah,
exactly.
How fantastic it is. And the story thing is a good idea, but that was used, wasn't that parables in Christianity and different religions?
This is the funny thing about it. Like, storytelling in itself, obviously, is centuries old. So we're not necessarily, you know, reinventing the wheel here, but it is just a new medium that now in 2015, we have all these different types of media and formats that we can use. Yeah, that's a really, really good point, that it is just telling a story, but it's now the point behind the story as well, in terms of, well, look at what this brand can do, or look at what this product can do. And that kind of, in an almost a subconscious way as well, will stay in the minds of hopefully your new customers or your existing customers.
Yeah.
What a lot of companies struggle with is the fact that for decades, that more kind of established companies have just been broadcasting a message out to people, be it on the TV, on the newspapers, and the radio. It's all been pushed out at their customers and their prospects as well. Whereas what the likes of social media has done effectively has made the dialogue a two-way kind of a conversation, and that's probably where most companies tend to struggle a bit, because they aren't geared up for it. So you need to know what you're doing just before you embark down the social media route. Like we were talking to a shop down in the Midlands there, quite a big shop down in the Midlands there, kind of a while ago, about a month or so ago. And the owner of the shop was saying to us, okay, so how do I use this social media thing to actually to grow my business? Because, you know, I might have 3-4 sales a year. How do I use the likes of Facebook and Twitter to actually sell more products from my shelves? And that's a very common question.
That's the bottom line,
yeah. That's the bottom line, exactly. So what we've advised him to do basically is to set up a competition on Facebook, which you can also run on Twitter, and then basically to build up as many emails and as many phone numbers of people who he's targeting in the local region. And as it happens, he's targeting women aged between 25 to 40. So what we've done is we've gone out and we're looking to basically to advertise to that exact gender in that age group in that geographic area, so that he builds up his database of basically of his prospects basically, which he can then kind of email or text as the sales are coming along basically throughout the
year.
I'm
so tempted to get sidetracked into talking about targeting women from
25 to 40 in his case, actually. There, yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Nice.
I think that you'd be interested to know that one of the most expensive demographic groups to target on Facebook with advertising is engaged girls. Because engaged girls, if you're an advertiser, if you're, you know, if you do honeymoons, if you do the receptions, you know, if you're a hotel or that, if you're a wedding band or a DJ, you always want to target engaged girls because they're under pressure, they have the budget, and most of them are getting tips and kind of insights on Facebook as well.
You have no idea what Pandora's box you are opening, John, because it's, I mean, we're coming up to Valentine's Day. Later on in the programme, we're going to be talking about the influences of culture on roles that boys and girls play from very early age. But I'm not going to go there. I'm not
going
to go there because I want to stick with social media. yes. Good. It would be very unfair to jump that on you without warning. If somebody is, if you like, new to it, okay, and they're thinking, okay, I want to set up a Facebook page. Maybe they've set it up. What, like, how do they go about it? They have a business idea. Just from the start, because it's... like there's so much to talk about in terms of the general movement that communication is going, but it's not useful to someone who's just starting and think, oh, okay, what am I going
to
do?
I guess there's going to be two aspects to this. One is that there's going to be a level of engagement. So again, that's going back to the social aspect of social media. On a paid level, John, I'm not sure if this might be something you'd want to bring up, that there is going to be, if possible, and hopefully if you're a business, you will have a certain budget to put into social media.
Yeah, social media is expensive. It's not cheap. And it's not free. And that's because of the time involved in it. And if you're a startup or if you have an idea or you want to get started, or even if you're established, you need to invest time to make it work. And that time might be involved in communicating with people. It might be just reaching out to people as well. And you have to think about what it is that you're going to say to people as well. So what is it that you're going to say to people such that they become interested in what you're selling or offering? Lots of times good content is the way to do that. But to create the good content, which might be an article or an e-book or an infographic or one of those types of things, you need to create these pieces of content. And that in itself is time consuming. So there's an enormous amount of time involved in making the social media work. One would have thought that if you have a simple kind of a website going already, what you might look to do initially is to, and if you're quite clear on who your target audience is, what you might like to do is to put some money via your credit card into Facebook advertising and actually to drive people through to your website. That's a very easy way to get going initially in terms of the kind of advertising there.
Okay.
Facebook is actually much easier in that sense. When you're trying to set something up, you can kind of, you have the ability of being able to spend some money on the advertising almost straight away. Twitter is slightly different. So say, for example, recently I would have set up, this would be more in my own time, I would have set up a Twitter profile for a friend who's running for election in Denmark. I recently set up a Twitter profile for a magazine. Now, when you have all that set up, then it looks fine. You might have the imagery right, you might have your message right, but Twitter won't allow you to advertise straight away. So they have to make sure that you're not going to be trying to spam people, basically. So it's kind of like a protection method. That's where the engagement will come in. So if you know the type of people that you want to engage with, let's say, for example, there's going to be a new restaurant opening in Clontarf that I'm aware of, that's basically across the road from my house, and I realise that they're already quite active on Twitter. They're getting in touch with local businesses, whether it's shops, whether it's, say, districts, or not district, but business councils and business
chambers.
That's what I was looking for. So, you know, all the different groups and businesses that would be already in the area. So they're already kind of establishing themselves within the community. And that's something that's very, very strong and actually very impressive to see already for a business that actually hasn't even opened yet. They're still it's still a building site, but their online presence is now being built already as we speak. So from a Facebook point of view, yes, if you have the money, it's fantastic if you're able to build up that online following straight away. And of course, a lot of people use Facebook. So if you're able to put in the money, as John was saying, that's where it's going to be the strongest. Twitter, even though it's still very, very important, you're not going to have the exact same freedom to spend money straight away. So your engagement, and that's where John was saying about, you know, spending time, because time is also, you know, a commodity. And that's where you're actually going to have to try and engage with your local area or your local or with the community that you're hoping to engage with. That's going to take time to, you know, build up a following there. And then eventually, once Twitter sees that you're not trying to do this for spam or for anything that would be against their own rules, that's when they allow you to go, actually, yeah, you're able to spend a few bob on promoted tweets. And that's a very similar model to Facebook advertising.
There's pictures on tweets. Is there? You can put pictures up on videos and stuff as well. It's not just...
Yeah, there's a variety of options which they have now on Twitter. We're doing some video cards at the moment for one particular client, and again the video is uploaded and it can be played by people who engage. So for example, let's say if you're bored gosh and you want to develop more business, then you might look to advertise to the people who follow kind of Electric Ireland. So you can chase the people who like your enemy, as it were.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's some clever things that you can do, but you need to know what you're doing because it's quite easy to get it wrong as well.
That's
you
deadly.
Know? Yeah, it is all right, yeah.
If you were a football team, could you target the team that you're playing next week and, you know, freak them out a bit? Like that?
You could target all the followers of the football team, yeah. So, for example, if, because I know they're just the other night there that Spurs were playing against Liverpool. So, so you know, if Spurs are playing Liverpool again in the next while, then by virtue of the fact that Balotelli scored for the first time there against Spurs there just the other night for Liverpool, then the Liverpool fans could actually target the followers of Spurs on Twitter to say that Mario is back next Saturday or something, and get them all worked up about that if they were so inclined. But that's taking things to a fairly hypothetical extreme, as it were, yeah.
And but I would not be encouraging that at all.
Not at all. But it still, it shows the creativity as well that you can put into various different advertising campaigns. So that shows that once you do kind of think about it a bit, and once you're allowed advertise on Twitter, and then obviously you will automatically from Facebook, you know, you can have a bit of fun with it as well and kind of think, well, how exactly am I going to get in a few more customers or a few more leads, as they call it as well.
Yeah. Wow. The Facebook, it's simple enough, isn't it, to set up a Facebook if people don't have one?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. From both a personal level and then from a business point of view as well, you need to have a personal profile on Facebook before you can really set up anything business-wise. Mm-hmm. But all you need for that really is an email address. So it is very, very easy. And, you know, I think that actually is proven by the fact that this isn't just, you know, very young people that are engaging with Facebook. I now know, you know, grandmothers who are on this media platform. So even though, as you mentioned, it was my birthday, I now have enough grey hairs to be about 205, but it shows
that's
that.
That's not true, listeners. That is not true.
But still, it shows that, you know, this is very accessible to all, and in a lot of ways as well, you know, the accessibility of it just kind of shows, or it adds to the power of that specific medium, and Twitter is very similar.
Yeah. I have to agree, actually. I know a lot of people, 60s and 70s, and one gentleman friend of mine is 92, and he uses Facebook quite a bit to talk and chat and do photographs and kind of keep in touch with people who he now is too old to travel, so this is the way they
but it's still even that in itself as well, you know, you'd be aware that from a business point of view that, you know, your target audience or, you know, your target demographic is going to be not just maybe 25 to 35, it could be anywhere from 20 to 65 plus.
Absolutely.
And that's going to have a large effect as well and a large impact on what you're trying to promote regardless of what your business is.
Probably the access to online purchasing has opened up markets that you wouldn't have had before, because I know my friend does all of his buying online because he can't get out. Now before you couldn't, sometimes it wasn't worth targeting 80 to 90 year olds because they'd never come into the shop, but now that they can buy online and get it delivered,
makes
they
it
actually
easier.
Are now, and they have a lot of cash that they're just trying to offload before some relative gets their hands on it. You know, and I agree with that. Spend it. Enjoy yourselves. I feel we are only just scratching the surface of this, and I hope to goodness you'll come back and talk again about the social media thing, because, I mean, we didn't even get on to setting up pages for events or anything like that, which is a huge area. I'm going to have to go to breaks. We have more lined up for the rest of the programme. But Scott, John, thank you so much for coming in. Do you want to give the telephone number for Tinder Point if people want to get in touch?
Yeah, just have a look at our website, tinderpoint.com or 485-2611.
485-2611 or tinderpoint.com if you want to find out a bit more and engage the services and do it properly, really get the most out of this social media, because really I think we haven't even started to find out all the things that can be done with it. Thanks so much. Thanks guys for joining me. We're going to go to a small break now, and I'll be back after the break with John Craddock from Craddock Estates. We're going to talk a little bit about renting and buying and all sorts of how to have a home and where is good and where is bad, and a few things about John as well. So we'll see you shortly. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Heidi.